Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Uptime Community. We're so glad that you could join us live today. And today's date is March 5th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Greg Messina. And if you're new here, we are a community of believers that are actively studying the Holy Bible and looking forward to that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the way, the truth, the life. We want to make this an interactive forum, so we do welcome your questions and your comments today. I don't know if you know who Jesus is, but if you don't, we do encourage you to get to know him today. I do have to give you the bad news first. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we deserve eternal separation from God and his blessings. I just want to let you know that because it is important that you realize what he did for us on that cross of Calvary. So the good news is our debt or sins have been fully paid for by the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross. He shed his blood for our sins, died, was buried, and was the only person who was risen in a fully glorified body on the third day. The gospel, the good news, as you can see on the screen there, is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. This is Apostle Paul speaking. By which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So if you believe the fact that in his death, burial, resurrection, what he did for us on that cross, how he died, he shed his blood for our sins on that cross. Trust in the blood of Jesus. You are saved. You are saved from eternal damnation and hell. We are talking about eternity, folks. This is not something you want to play around with. And seek him out earnestly with your whole heart, your whole mind, strength. You'll find him. He will reveal himself to you, folks. And we are going to be discussing some very interesting topics today. And of course, we bring back our usual Uptime panel. We are missing Michael Pels. And I think Brother Kevin Hookman is supposed to be joining us, but we'll see what happens there. And we bring back, of course, Brother Bob Barber. Welcome back, Brother Bob.
Glad to be back.
Good. Amen. And also, Brother John Fortier for Watchman, the Watchdog, excuse me, Watchdog.
Good evening, y'all people from Uptime.
And we bring back Brother Bob Hagen.
Yeah, howdy, you guys. Good to see you. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. And of course, Brother John from Watchmen for that great day. Welcome back, Brother John.
Thank you, brother. Good to be here.
Johnny B. And of course, Brother Shane. We welcome back Brother Shane. Shane L. from Black Swan Revelations.
How's it going, everyone?
Very good.
Yes, very good, very good. So we are going to be discussing a lot, of course, getting back into what we discussed about last week with Brother Aaron from Got a Minute Channel. And we're going to be discussing a little bit more about the upcoming solar eclipse in April, what that symbolizes, how that's going to affect you, how it's going to affect us. All. And of course, we also want to let you know that we are on a podcast, audio podcast. So you can do a search for Uptime Community or Uptime Church on iTunes and Spotify, along with other major platforms, such as iHeartRadio and Amazon Music. So please give us a listen, download. We are expected to go for a full 2 hours. So we know that can be long for some people, and we do appreciate you listening. And of course, you can always pick up from where you left off. So that's the gospel right there. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, to go through the door. Amen. And of course, that door is Jesus Christ. He is the door. And as you can see in John 10, 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so we'll start off with you, Bob. How was your week? What have you been doing with your channel? What new revelations have been revealed to you?
Well, I got a new Rapture Resurrection report, almost finished. Everything to do with the sign of Jonah and the April 8th eclipse. And it's really exciting. I really want to reveal it here because once I start talking, I have to explain the whole thing. So that's why I'm going to let the video fly first. You know, John, Brother John knows how that is. You know, just can't, you know, without, won't make sense unless you see the whole video. So almost done working on that. Bunch of other content, doing some live streams. I think I'm going to be doing a live stream with Brother Shane this Thursday, right, Brother Shane?
Yep.
At what time again? Was it 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time? 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, 6:30 Mountain, so I think 8:30 your time.
Right. I'll put out a thing on my channel about that for you people. But I will be joining Shane with Brother John this past morning and Brother Aaron. Incredible revelations. John has stuff. John has a bunch of stuff ready for you guys, okay? Mm-hmm. But right now, we're just watching. And one thing I got to say about watching right now, there's so much stuff going on that a lot of stuff, and I love Chris at Global Rapture Watchers. I love watching his channel because he has this ability to take everything going on, and he could take it all, wrap it up to a beautiful short package, and deliver it to you with scripture. So mm-hmm. I love why. I never miss any of his videos. But he mentioned something about he mentioned something about stuff that's going on right now. And he says, you know what? A lot of stuff happening right now that he has to sort through, a lot of it's not even noteworthy anymore. And I agree. There's so much stuff out there. It's like, I could just look at the title. I was like, yeah, I get what's going on there. I get what's going on. Look at the title. You know, as you're sorting through videos now, you know, trying to look for really good stuff now, because that's where we're at. We are surrounded by so much stuff, all right? And it takes a lot of work to extract the good information, all right? It's like writing a book, all right? How many books do you think are written right now? Have mankind has written trillions of them, okay? So what makes your book so special when it goes into a bookstore? You know, why are people going to search out your book, okay? There's so much information out there, okay? So you have to be really good at extracting that information. And Chris at Global Rapture Watchers, we should have him on the show one of these days. But man, he really nails it. You know, so he puts out like 2 videos a day, something like that. So shout out to him. But yeah, lot of stuff happening. I'm excited. Brother John's going to bring it today. John Voucher.
Boy, don't put me on the spot like this.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll help you out because a lot of the stuff we talked about, you know, you know, but
you like being put on the spot, John.
Yeah, on the spot. Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, right.
Well, Take it away.
All right. Well, this solar eclipse on the 8th of April, first day of Nisan, I don't know. It has a lot to do with the first crossing of the solar eclipse crossed America in 2017. And without this second one, we wouldn't have a cross. Okay. So what we saw, what the first one was it entered 7 Salems, came from the west and came down to the east and exited at a place in South Carolina, Fort Sumter. Fort Sumter is where the Civil War began. And now we have this solar eclipse coming up through America, and it's coming through Mexico. But the first place that it hits is in Texas, in Eagle Pass, and it's a specific place there called Shelby Park. And Shelby Park is dedicated to a Confederate general that never declared defeat. All right. The Union, right. This is part of what's going on now in Eagle Pass with the battle between the government with the federal, right. The federal government with the state of Texas. Texas back in the 1800s was asked to come into the Union and that they could succeed anytime they wanted. And so what happened was as the Civil War started, okay, they were basically ground zero right there. And so now what we're seeing is at that time, that was the end of the Civil War in Shelby Park. And this high ranking general never proclaimed defeat, And they went into Mexico, and the emperor of Mexico gave them land. And anyway, it was considered a war that was never finished war, the Civil War. And half the states at the time, 23 states, actually joined in the battle against the federal government, which was the Union. Okay. So now we're having the same problem down there where the United States government is going against the state of Texas, and Texas is standing up and saying, no, we can't allow what's happening on our border, and they're standing up. So that's what the whole thing is with a possible civil war, all right? But here's the thing. So the solar eclipse, that's the first place that it hits, and it goes up through Nineveh's and Jonah's and all, you know, Aaron has all that information. All I know is, this is an amazing time. Amen, Brother Bob?
Yeah. Basically, essentially what you're saying is that this eclipse is marking an event that ended the Civil War. And now the thing that ended the Civil War is basically unpausing itself.
Yeah.
You know, essentially what's happening, this thing is unpausing itself. And that's what jumped out at me. They said this, the war that never ended, or the war that was never finished.
Right.
Okay. So, right. Yeah, and now what's happening now is what happened when the war ended. And so and it's now it's starting to ramp up again.
Yes, yeah, culminating again. Yeah. And this is right at the eclipse. So, this is so interesting. What I found out today while Brother Bob and Aaron and I were talking was I was going to look up when did the Civil War begin. But what happened was when you're searching the search bar, all that came up was when does the Civil War end? It was like, the last two words, you know, and it put them in. When did the Civil War end? And when did it end, brothers? It ended April the 9th, 1865. April the 9th, that's the key. And what's happening April the 8th is this eclipse, and that's the first place it hits. So it's almost like the day before it ended, now it's maybe going to begin again. I don't know. I'm just saying this. If a Civil War breaks out, that to the United States, that is the time of tribulation. That would be considered the war. And you know who's going to jump in on all that to cause commotion is China and all the other, you know, because they see us as weak at this point. So,
and you know what? And people say, oh, it's a revolutionary war because the citizens versus the government. Yeah, but here's the problem. We have illegal citizens in here versus the legal citizens. That's what's going on. All right. Yeah. They have 15 to 20 million of them here. Most of them military-age men, okay? They've been flying them in here. If they can't get past the border, they fly them in here, and they're putting up in hotels. They are feeding them. They're keeping them strong and healthy because they're going to need them to fight on their behalf. Our government. Yeah. On their behalf against us when they call them. That's why they're kicking them out of all the nursing homes and all the, you know, places like that, the veteran homes.
Yeah.
They don't care about the citizens here. They care about their personnel for their army. That's why they're putting them everywhere and taking care of them, giving money and food and everything. They want them nice and healthy and strong. So that way, when the time comes to fight us, they'll be ready.
Amen.
Amen.
But bring it on the tribulation. If that happens, tribulation happens. So,
yeah.
We're close. We're very close.
We'll see. It could very well happen. Let's pass. Go on to Brother John, the watchdog. Go ahead, yes. Brother John. How you doing?
Sir. Good evening, everyone. Well, I'm just going to be a bad advocate here. How long have you been on Uptime? How long have you had that show for? How many years? 15 years?
Yeah, it's been... So you're asking about how long has Uptime been going for? It'll be 4 years in May.
Yes.
Over 3.5, yes.
And that's all you guys do? Come every week and you start searching and everything? Well, it's a verse in the Bible. I'm sharing a screen. You can share the screen there. It's Romans 8:22-23. For you know that the old creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So it's nonstop. But Paul is telling us, and not only they, those are not saved, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, uppercase S, of course, the Holy Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit. That's the rapture, the redemption of our body. We are saved spiritually. It's this body, which is still sinning. So we're waiting for that. So people who are looking at this and watching Uptime, that's what it is. It's Titus 2:13, the blessed hope. We're watching. That's what we do. We're grown at inside. Man, if it can come, if it can come. And for those who are not saved, well, at the beginning of the show, you had the gospel. That's the gospel of Paul for us. That's what we're studying this week. Yes, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. That's not the second coming. That's the appearing. It's going to be mm-hmm. on the clouds mm-hmm. of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you look at Savior, it's uppercase S and seven letters, not six. Okay, that's very important when you read a King James. All these details have something to do. But anyway, if you're not saved, that's the best thing to do. So as for me this week, we were studying the little group I have every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern time on Zoom. And we have a little group. You can always throw me an email if you want to join. No problem. I'll give you the code and you can join us at thewatchdog7x7@gmail.com. There you go. And we will look at it, and we will welcome you, either women or men. Everybody is welcome. And it's not me teaching. It's a Bible study. Grab a cup of coffee. Everybody will be able, allowed, and welcome to talk, to bring some stuff there. Okay? So that's what it is. We're just a bunch of people who are looking for the blessed hope. Okay? And that's why... which one is the verse? If you can bring, which one is it? 2:3. Yes, 2:3. A lot of people, you know, say, "Oh, it's been like this for so many years. All the people the before us all dead and everything, and it never comes." Be careful! Be careful! It's coming! It's coming! Okay.
Come on, John.
It's very coming, and to covetousness shall they fang words, make merchandise of you in judgment. Maybe I'm mistaken there. It's to, oh man. Anyway, I'll find it and I'll bring it to you. But people are scoffers. Scoffers are mocking us, and they're saying it's been like this for ages, and that's it. It's never happening. Well, that's why it's never happening. It's because God is giving a little chance still for those who are not saved. So that message is for you. If you're not saved, maybe we're waiting after you. Once you get saved, maybe it's going to be the rapture. Who knows, right?
Man, it's 2 Peter 3:3, by the way. So I'm going to pull that up for you. 2 Peter 3:3. That's okay. You're close. You're close, brother. Hold on. Let me just... pull it up for you because...
Yeah, it's very important. Scoffers, right?
Yep.
Yes. Knowing this first, that shall come in the last day, scoffers walking after their own lust. And 4, if you can put verse 4. I'm sorry.
Where is his promise?
And verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, okay? I showed a little metal sign last week, okay? Be careful. The light at the end of the tunnel is not the exit, okay? It's a freight train coming towards you. It's very dangerous, all right? And in a tunnel, you have no room to escape when the train is coming, okay? So be careful there. The whole thing is, and listen to these guys on the panel tonight. They're going to bring you things, signs, and all kinds of stuff that make this domino effect going faster and faster. That's a physics law. Once you punch a domino, if you have a bunch even a gymnasium, it's always going to go faster. Okay. That's the law of physics. So we're, and like the Bible says, it's like a woman in travail. For those women are listening to us, once you're in travail, is there a way to stop it? No, it goes all the way to the end of it. So that was my 2 cents of to put my point in. And sorry for the French accent there, but
you don't have to be sorry about that, brother.
John, my mom started watching this program, and she said that you are her favorite on this program. Not me. You are.
You are the man.
Oh, my. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Uptime panelist. So that's
oh, my.
Yep. Good for you, John. Real happy for you.
I love you guys. I love you guys. You're so smart and you're so knowledgeable and everything. It's crazy to look at you and see what you bring every week, some new stuff. It's encouraging. And that's what Paul is doing with the Church of Thessalonians. That's what we're studying right now. He feels encouraging and blessing the church because it's a young church in First Thessalonians and is focusing on the gospel and making sure that these people are saved and they lack nothing in the salvation. 2 Timothy 2:15, study and to show themselves and rightly dividing. So this is very important.
So, John, can I just like to talk about what you just said about the scoffers and mockers? Certainly, there's a lot of that going on prior to the rapture, and the rapture is definitely being hit by even the people that should believe in the rapture. You know, just amazes me all the time that the people just don't. They don't get that there's an escape, you know.
Mm.
But can I just read a couple of verses in Matthew?
Just hold off on that for a moment. Let Bob Hagen say a few words, right? Introduce him as well. It looks like we lost Brother Shane for a few moments. So
he says he's back now.
Yeah. No, I can't. Is he? I don't see him. No, he's not back. Okay. I can't get him.
Oh, he'll be back.
All right, Brother Bob, how you been doing? You've been fighting a cold recently, but you're feeling much better. What have you been in terms of the words? You've been in any specific books?
Well, I had a chance to get together with you on Sunday and put another teaching out, which will be out tomorrow at 12 Eastern time. And I pray that you'll take an opportunity to watch it. Folks, get out there and... the walk of faith, I think, is what we called it, right? The walk of faith. Studying the word and trying to keep going here. I retired finally, so I'll have some more time to.
Congratulations. Exciting news.
To study the word.
Be retired.
And, see if I can get rid of this brick wall for next week. Boucher sent me the bricks and I finally got it put up, you know.
All right. So I just got the word from Kevin Hookman. He's not able to make it tonight.
Oh.
So, everybody say,
Kevin.
Oh, boy. Well, we tried, right? Yeah. We try. That's all we can do. So Brother Shane, are you having some technical difficulties? Are you you back up and running?
I'm good.
On? Yeah?
Good. Had to give my dog a quick needle.
He's far in Canada. Edmonton is really far. It's the West Country. It's way from us.
Yeah.
It's almost where the sun goes down.
That's funny.
So let's hear about what you've been doing, Brother Shane. You have been keeping busy. You just have just cranking out those videos left and right. I am impressed. I have to tell you, I am.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Absolutely impressed.
I decided to do something a little bit different today, and that was to. I'm hearing myself in the headphones. Is that me?
We don't hear echo or feedback, so it's probably you.
Okay. Basically, I decided to try something a little bit different today, and that was to upload some videos, some teachings, and then just monitor the comments at the same time. So that basically I did that for 4 hours today, and then I was still tired afterwards because you're still having to pay attention for 4 hours. It took a lot of concentration, but it was fun. It's fun.
Good. Yeah. You've been interviewing more people. Thank you for having me on to share my testimony. You have others coming on. And yeah, you've just been keeping real busy. And
we've been I'm so thankful just to be here tonight. And it seems like there's a really tight knit community of watchers that are just supporting each other. And I see familiar faces on the chat and they're bouncing around from different channels and they're really supportive. I really appreciate that. And it's very fascinating to see how tight knit the people are. And we're all eagerly anticipating the arrival of Jesus Christ. Like one day it could happen today, could happen right now on this channel where one by one, blink, 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 we all disappear. Yeah, there we go. There's the sound we've been waiting for. Yeah. So I'm just blessed and honored to be on here tonight. It's exciting.
Well, we're glad to have you. Yes. Very happy to have you.
Shane, how did you get the name Black Swan?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No.
Tell them to go to your channel.
Yeah, exactly. Go check out my channel.
Shane.
It's because of this book by Nassim Nicholas Taleb.
Okay.
And basically, a Black Swan event is something that's highly improbable. And when it happens, it changes the world overnight. And then on the other side of it, once it's over, everybody looks back and they'll figure out ways to explain it away. So when you think about the rapture, this is like the biggest Black Swan event that is about to hit the world.
Yeah,
it fits all the criteria, and there's going to be one person that's going to be able to explain it away, and that's the Antichrist.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. You could say that Jesus coming the first time was a black swan.
100%, yeah, for sure.
It changed the world completely for that. You know, here we are at the end, getting ready for a second coming.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
This is pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is a good time. Like everything, like when you think about the United States and even with this solar eclipse, like a lot of Christians are going, what's up? And even non-Christians are looking around going, something is up.
Yeah.
Something's up. It's almost like our time is up.
You know, John, we were talking this morning about, you know, the sign that's coming, the solar eclipse. It is a conglomerate of a bunch of signs starting in 2017. You got like the sign of Joseph in there, the Salems and all the stuff like that, the Aleph and the Tav, beginning and the end. And then you have the sign of Jonah, which will be the third and final leg of it that passes on April 8th. Okay. Now, point that we talked about today, we had some great revelations today. I wish we would have recorded because we talked about how the fact that Jesus said that the sign of Jonah will be a sign given to a wicked generation. Okay. Right. Only a wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Only sign they're going to see is a sign of Jonah. And we're like, you know, I'm like, we're watching this sign. We're talking about this sign. Yeah. Okay. We're observing this sign and we're getting ready for things to happen. But are we a wicked generation? I think Brother Aaron asked that. He's like, are we a wicked generation? It's like, no, because that sign is not for us. It's not for any of us, not for the body of Christ. None of that stuff is for us because we are watching what's going to happen to them, who is Israel. Okay. And when things, and by watching what's going to happen to them and all the signs taking place in the heavens for them. Okay. When things happen for them, Daniel's 70th week, by default, we leave.
Right.
Okay. By default, we leave. All right. So the signs are here. Sign of Jonah's here. It's for a wicked generation, not us, them. Okay. And when it kicks in the gear and everything happens, okay, that sign is for them. But like I said, for us, it's not for us. When Daniel's 70th week begins, rapture, resurrection happens, age of grace ends, by default, we're taken out of here.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? We're watching what's going to happen to the other guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought it was interesting. Brother Aaron was talking about there is a bridal veil up in Canada just before around the Niagara Falls area. One side is bridal veil. And as
bridal veil, it's a bridal veil. Yeah. So enters at Eagle Pass, Texas, exits at Bride. Bridal Veil. So yeah.
And the other side, right in the middle of the eclipse,
it passes through Rapture Harmony. And he points out that Rapture Harmony has a road in it called Goodman Road, the good man that watched the house. So, I mean, this thing's loaded.
It's a loaded
potato like you wouldn't believe. The bacon, cheese, and everything. This thing's huge.
I was very satisfying. I was pointing that out. Like we were talking about, just Bob and I, that, you know, that the Jews seek a sign. Right, their answer when a lunar eclipse happens, it's for the Jews, since the Jews are on the lunar calendar. When a solar eclipse happens, it's for the Gentiles, for the rest of the world. So what we have is a solar eclipse, and then Bob was talking about the three lunar eclipses that happen on Purim for 3 years, right? From the 24th.
Then the next one is the 25th, and the final one's the 26th. Wow. So you have three blood moons that fall on Purim over the next 3 years, starting this year. Okay. Wow. And here's the thing. Well, you have to think about the Jews. If they're building, imagine being here during the tribulation, you're building a temple, you're a Jew, and you're excited about this temple and everything that's going to bring for you. Okay. You're watching it, but in the meantime, you're noticing these blood moons. All right. And hey, those are warnings, and they're falling on Purim for the next 3 years. And after that, and in 2026, it'll be the last one. And I'm starting to hear this whole thing about this abomination of desolation that takes place right around 2027. Do you think those blood moons are pointing at that? You know, some of them are going to start thinking that.
Yeah.
They're going, because they are the new watchmen.
Yeah.
We're gone. New watchmen will rise up.
That's right.
That's why they're killed. Yep. Silence.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
And they'll be looking at some of these streams or recordings. They will be digging into scripture. I believe Bibles will still be around. They will be scarce at some point during that period, but they're going to need something to go by, right? Yeah. So they're going to be doing some studying. They're going to be looking at these things. And guess what, folks? They're going to be scared. They are going to be scared. Man, it is coming. It is coming. It's down the pike, isn't it?
Right. In fact, that happens over the next 3 years. Hey, I don't think God's going to show those three Purim blood moons and then don't do the abomination desolation to 2035. That doesn't make any sense. They're like, what warning? I didn't see any warning. That was like 8 years ago. What kind of warning is that? You know, everybody's going to forget about that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bridges up. Like when? Like 5,000 miles ago. I mean, you're just going to forget about it. So it makes sense to me that the next three blood moons, think about what's happening now with the April 8th eclipse and what it means for us, sign of Jonah and all that stuff. And then you just so happen to have these blood moons falling on Purim the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, have you guys heard anything about the solar eclipse passing through one of the towns called Donald? Mm-mm. Have you heard about that? Has anybody in the chat heard about one of the solar eclipse going through the passing one of the towns in Donald in the Midwest? Just if you have, just let us know, because that's a very interesting, significant thing. I just heard about it recently. And I just find it interesting, too, with the symbolism of Donald, because if Trump ends up winning this thing, okay, coming up, he was somebody who was actually, I think, born during a solar eclipse. Very interestingly enough. Yeah. Now, if anyone in the chat has heard of that, please let us know. We'll do some more research on it later, but that would be very interesting symbolism as well.
I know that the eclipse finished with us in Newfoundland, Canada. If you look at the X, we're the last city, St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, to see the eclipse. Well, not to see it, but to be in the dark.
Did you know, John, that it also goes through, because Aaron was telling us that, so Bridal Veil, Brother Bob, and then right in the same area on the other side of the Niagara Falls somewhere, there's a place called Hell's Acre.
Oh.
So it goes through Hell's Acre. I mean, this is crazy. You know, the amazing the things that we're seeing, because it's something to watch, because it is a sign. But it's not for us. It's for the wicked and adulterous generation, since it's connected to Jonah and, you know, all of that. Nineveh.
Oh, man.
Nineveh. Oh, by the way, Nineveh, Texas. And 87 miles from Nineveh, Texas is Waco. And you know what
happened? We all know what happened in Waco.
Waco, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Grand Davidians, yep, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. I won't talk about Waco tonight.
No. But it was all these things are just interesting side note, you know, from where it's headed to. What total thought. Yeah.
We have a hope. You know, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on that are bad.
Yeah. Mm.
But you know, we still have a big God. We still, you know, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to represent him, and we're here to give people an opportunity to get to know him.
Mm.
You know, give Jesus a chance, and you know, no matter what it looks like out there and what is going on, you still have time. It's not a good idea to put off getting saved.
That's for sure. That's
really kind of an understatement of the last 2,000 years. But if you think you have tomorrow, you're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next minute. But we have to realize that Jesus Christ completed the work that God sent him to do. And he said, it is finished, you know. So we, as followers of him, as joint heirs of Christ, heirs of God, you know, we have a lot. We still have a work to do here. And that's why we're back on here this week. That's why these gentlemen do their videos and put out their different programs that they do, is to, you know, not so that they can get a whole bunch of viewers, but so that people have an opportunity to believe the word. That's the thing, you know. If God's not getting the glory, there's no point in us doing this, is there, John? Mm-hmm. It's not. It's just a feeble attempt at trying to make us ourselves look good,
that ain't good.
As far as that goes, I would much rather hear that somebody, you know, if I did a particular teaching and somebody had an opportunity to hear the word enough to where they got saved and I hear about it someday, I'll be thrilled. You know, if there's one person from the last almost 4 years Uptime's been on, if I know there's been many people that have come to know the Lord through, and that's the thing, that's the exciting thing. That's what we get excited about. You know, we're not in here giving you pieces of the cross for a certain amount of money. We're not going that route. You know, although I think Boucher still has some pieces from the cross, don't you, John?
Oh, the cross I got, I wear.
Yeah, no, I'm just playing with you, John.
He picks it up, and he picks it up daily.
Yeah.
Picks it up daily.
Yeah. You know, we're
put on a lot of spinners sometimes. The cross up there, that's for sure.
These guys have much more of a working knowledge of the prophetic and the end times than I do, but you know, I throw my two cents in there once in a while, and I think that the main thing is to realize that God's will, and God does love you, and his will is that all men are to be saved. Mm-hmm. And not just that, but to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you do come to a knowledge of the truth, and you don't, well, what am I going to do now? You need to pray to the Father that he shows you a good church to get involved with. You get together with people that can help you to learn the word. But, you know, he will answer your prayers if you ask him that. He's not tightwad. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to point you in the direction you need to go. For whatever reason you tuned into this tonight, this is the direction he wanted you to go. And just sit back and you might learn a few things. I always learn a lot when I'm on here. But it's just, and I'm a simple man. I don't, you know, I'm not a brilliant guy. But the more we're around getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we're going to understand this, what is going on in this world right now. And we're going to be at peace no matter what it looks like. I think it's really important that we keep our heads together, because a lot of people are going to be losing theirs. Right, Bob?
Yep.
A lot of people are going to be losing their heads. Literally, it's losing their heads.
That's why the age of grace.
The signs that we're seeing, that's for them. It's not for us. We see the signs come, the solar eclipses. We see all this bad stuff is happening around us, but these are all the signs that the tribulation is going to begin. Mm-hmm. And we watch for the beginning of the tribulation, because we know if the tribulation starts, then by default, we're gone.
Bye-bye.
So we can't watch for the rapture. How do you watch for the rapture? You can't. Watch for the tribulation. Yeah. It's a big, ugly 7-year period. And there's plenty of things to watch. You can watch a government. You can watch a Satanist. You can watch the churches. You can watch what's going on in technology. You can watch Elon Musk. You can watch the politicians. I mean, there's so much that you can watch, you know, and they're all converging right now. They're getting ready. They're all going to hiding right now. You guys hear about that? That's going crazy. What's his name? Bill Gates. He has a bunker in every single state in the whole union now. Every single state in the United States, he has a bunker, because he's so scared and he doesn't know when this thing's going to go down. He wants to be within an easy driving distance of one of his bunkers. Okay. He's scared. They're all scared. They are scared for when we leave. They know it's going to wreck everything. An EMP like you wouldn't believe when we go. Just like the mass exodus of Egypt. When they left, they took all the gold, they took all the food, took all the resources, they took everything. You think Pharaoh went after them because he just hated them? No, they were poor. He went after them to get all his money back.
Yeah, he sure did.
Bob, you know? Bob, speaking about, you know, having all that money and building bunkers and being scared and everything, in Matthew 16 and 25 through 26, it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, talk about Jesus, shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So our souls are valuable, brothers and sisters, and those who would watch this that aren't saved. And the day of grace, the age of grace, is coming to an end. That's what these shows, these times, are all about. This is why the world is in its crazy downward spiral. And you don't have to look around too far to see that that's what's happening. The world is a very unsafe place. It's a very temporary place until the Lord Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. And if you're saved now, guaranteed of that. But if you wait and say, put it off till tomorrow and another day goes by, and that day comes, which can be any day now, then you're left to go through a period of time such as never been, is what the Bible says, such as never has been. And that's what we're seeing in the world news, in the world situations, and that's where we're at. So it's time, you know, come to Jesus now. Come
yes.
to Jesus. Tonight,
you know, yes, amen. Amen. That's mm-hmm. the time.
I want to give Brother Shane a chance to speak as well. Yep. Brother Shane, I assume you agree with a lot of what Brother John is discussing right now.
Yeah, 100%. And I was just thinking about 1969 is when I came into existence on the planet Earth.
Wow.
And the reason why I bring that up is there is an area not too far away, maybe about an hour away, in Bow Valley / Kananaskis area in the mountains. They were actually digging a bunker to protect themselves from a nuclear blast. They're digging away, and they stopped the same year that I was born. For some reason, they don't know why they stopped. They just stopped building this bunker. And can I share my screen? Can I show you it?
Go ahead. Please do.
Let me just see if I can bring this up here. It's kind of interesting here. So this is the bunker. I don't know if you guys can see that. Can you see that all right?
Yeah,
so inside the bunker through the Cold War to Alberta's Bow Valley. So they're busy building a hydrogen bomb bunker that would basically protect you from a hydrogen bomb. And they're exploring this, like it's almost like a tourist site kind of thing right now. But it was, for some reason, it was never completed, and they don't really know why they stopped. But that was the plan, was to go under. And I, not to be like a conspiracist or anything like this, but I came across an area in Calgary that it sure looks like a bunker. And I've heard rumors about it, that this is where the politicians are going to go. And it's in my old neighborhood in Royal Oak. So if you guys drive by there, if anybody's watching this and they're from Royal Oak, you know what I mean. It's to the right side of the YMCA. If you ask anybody, they're like, oh, yeah, this is just for water beside the YMCA. And it's massive. And I actually had a friend that was flying a drone. And he was actually flying an airplane, a little mini airplane. And it actually went across the fence and fell in that area. And so he went over to get it. And there's a road that goes in. You just have to kind of hop there. There's like a little chain link, just a little tiny link. And he went to get his plane. And somebody was there right away saying that you shouldn't be here. And it looks abandoned. Like it's a remote area beside the Y. Like nobody goes in there. There's fence and everything.
Like Area 51.
But he said it was like within minutes, somebody was asking him what he was doing. And it was an abandoned area. And that all of a sudden, so he's telling me about this. I'm like, you're full of baloney. There's no way. And as I walk by, I'm looking at it and it's all covered over top, and you can't really see the entrance, and there's like no trespassing, all this stuff. And I'm like, it would make sense that if all of a sudden something were to go down, the politicians would go there and hide out.
Well, we know a lot of things come up from underneath. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Brother John, we have kind of a Area 51 by us too, don't we? On Long Island, Camp Hero over in Montauk.
Oh yeah.
We got a little bit of conspiracy running around that area. Yeah. Camp Hero's
Montauk Monster. Yep, we had all that stuff. Remember that?
The Montauk Project. And supposedly there's still stuff that's active there, even though they claim everything is shut down.
No, there's nothing happening there.
We also have
nothing to see here.
We've got a half-mile collider right up in
Brookhaven. Brookhaven Labs. Yep. Brookhaven National Laboratory. We have our own collider right here, too. Boy, we are in some spot, aren't we, John?
Yeah. Yeah, they're waiting for that nuclear war, man.
Yeah.
Time collider. For you guys to move to Canada.
Yeah.
Or get out. I haven't finished my tunnel yet. I mean, my bunker.
They won't let you finish it. They have, that's their territory down there. So you start digging down, they're going to stop.
My parents, many years ago, they lived out in a place called Ben Lomond, California, and the house that they bought in the backyard, the guy who had owned the house before, had dug a bunker in the backyard in case of a bomb. It wasn't very deep, but it was definitely a bunker. It was not a storage area. A lot of concrete around it. It was maybe 8-10 feet in the ground. Not much to it, but they were always, what was this for? And I said, maybe he was growing something down there. I don't know. But it was some kind of a bunker. And they're all over the place. You know that.
I just saw somebody that had a little saying there that you could actually make that into a t-shirt. I'm trading my bunker for a mansion.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're going good. The nuclear fortresses are in constant flight now. They're refueling. Yeah. The refueling cycle never stops now. It's been doing that now for over a month. Their cycles, I mean, they're constantly in the air now. That's never happened before. I remember when that stuff started going in the air about 2 months ago, okay? And that was a big news. But now these things, you got a refueling plane that lands and refuels while another one takes off. So they are not missing a beat. They are airborne 24/7 now. Okay? Why are they doing that? Or are they expending all that, all those resources?
They're waiting they're waiting for the orders, Bob.
Yeah. Waiting for the orders.
As a bad advocate, I would say, Bob and the other ones, why are you trying to scare people, right? I'm sharing a screen right now. Because some people, if you can share my screen there, it's Jude 22. For some, we have compassion to bring them to the gospel. But some other ones are so stubborn, you got others, you save them with fear, right? If you don't want to be saved for the rapture because you don't believe the rapture, at least go for to be saved, not to end up in hell. Okay, right. These things are warnings. Like, you won't be able to come to the Lord and say, I didn't know. Not knowing won't be an excuse. Ignorance is not a word that's going to be spoken in heaven. You know about it. And I'm frozen again. But that's all right. So that was my thing there to bring, because that's what it is, right? Amen. That's what it is.
Brother, yeah. Brother Bob, you wanted to say something before. You were telling me something about April 5th, right? The Messiah 2030. Did you want to say that tonight?
April 5th? Oh, yeah, April 5th. So according to April, Messiah 2030, Jesus, and it was just not Messiah's 2030's research. Yeah. I've seen other research like this. Yeah. Not my research, but others' research where they just dove into it and spent months working on it, okay? Yeah. But basically, in a nutshell, their research is pointing at the death of Jesus Christ around April 4th or 5th, okay? Right. 3 days, that means you land around the 7th or 8th, yeah. All right? April 8th, solar eclipse. Yeah. Okay. So what happened on April 8th? If that was the case, let's say that's the case. Jesus rose again on April 8th. All right. Mm-hmm. What happened on April 8th in 30 AD? What happened? There was a mass resurrection. The Bible says after his death, the graves opened and the bodies of the saints came out of the graves and went into the holy city and showed themselves to many. Yep. Okay. So if that's the case, if that's the typology, okay, then wouldn't it make sense that the head of the church resurrected on April 8th, then wouldn't it make sense that the body of the church would represent on April 8th? Because Jesus is the body and we're the body of Christ, okay? So based on that, now, what happened that day, I don't know, but that's a high watch day. I'm not sure what's going to happen that day. And I've said it before, that it's going to be a nothing burger, okay? Yeah. But then I kind of go to the other side, like, well, that could be the actual day of the rapture.
It is. It so might be.
I have to think it both ways, John.
Yeah.
So, it's my birthday on the 8th. So, hey, amen.
God is, we're going to celebrate your birthday in heaven, man. That's
cool. Yes, on the way up there.
So,
April 8th. Yeah. April 8th. If you go 7 months later.
Yeah.
7 months later, it lands you right around November 11th, which is when Philip Barnett said that the nuclear war would begin.
Yeah.
And the number seven I've seen in types and parallels and patterns over the last 10 years, there is a spread of seven from a sign till when something takes place. For example, Israel was attacked on October 7th. Then the sign showed up on October 14th. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had, for example, I saw a blood moon take place in 2021, or was it 2018? 2018, January 21st, 2018, I believe. And that was a blood moon that took place right when they did that whole abortion thing in New York. Remember that?
Yeah.
And when that happened, and then 7 days later, there was a massive storm that hit the East Coast area and hit us over here, too. And my kids stayed out of school for 7 days because the storm was so bad, right? So there is this pattern of seven, either 7 days, 7 weeks, or 7 months, or 7 years before or after a sign, okay? And this one received coming up April 8th, 7 months later, is on November 11th.
Man, we can't say that doesn't mean anything, folks. I mean, come on.
It lines up so great. And what about... we're looking at now up to the 8th, and, you know, not to throw a wet blanket on anything, but if we're here on the 8th and nothing happens, then you got to go from there, because everything is relating to Jonah and Nineveh and repentance in 40 days. Okay, so 40 days out from April 8th is May the 18th.
And well, we're waiting.
Exactly.
We are. We're waiting.
And seven is the number of judgment.
Yeah.
All right. 7-year tribulation. All right. So I could give a lot more examples, but I have to go into my notes and I don't have them in front of me right now. But I've seen this over and over and over. And now we're in the middle of a 7-year warning. Okay. Perfect example. 2017 began the first solar eclipse. You guys watched Dr. Barry All's latest video. You need to watch it. It's only 27 minutes. And that's rare for Dr. Barry because usually it's like 2 hours. Okay. Yeah.
Great plug.
You have to be exceptional to watch Dr. Barry and retain all that information all the way through his 2-hour videos, right? But he did. I saw it. He made a 27-minute video and he lays out the pattern and he started talking about, it's like, hey, and he started talking about that pattern of seven. And we started watching this warning kick off on August 21st with this first solar eclipse. And now it's going to finish up 7 years later. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, it's a loaded sign. There's so much good information in there.
There's an Elijah. I asked Aaron too. There, since I found out the other day that, did you know that Jonah was what was the word? He was basically mentored by Elijah. Elijah lived at the same time as Jonah, and they were living at the same time, and they mentored Jonah. Elijah did.
Wow. Good history. Right?
And so it just happens that there is a Elijah, Pennsylvania, that totality goes right through. So, you know, this is just...
John, you got all these towns lined up, man. It's just
right there, man. And
It's got to be a coincidence, all these names, man.
Yes, but I got to ask the panel a question now. Okay, you all talk about the 8th of April. You all talk about after the 8th, you know, if it's a sign for the Jews and everything. What if the rapture is before? What does it mean now for the eclipse?
It means to watch. It just means watch and see what's coming and just be aware that we're just in the moment. And if it happens today, I'm happy. We're all going to praise God if it happens. Mm-hmm. As long as we're here, if we're here tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and we keep getting closer to the 8th, we're getting more like, okay, what's going to happen? That's the sense, you know.
Well, that's what's been happening. I mean, face it. All the signs that we've seen since 2014 with the blood moon tetrad, the Bethlehem stars, all the asteroids, the solar eclipses and everything, okay? When these signs take place, it never marked the event on the very day, okay? It was always before, after, or in, you know, somewhere in the area of month or something like that, a year, all right? But maybe can it be this time, though, like I talked about, on Messiah 2030, about the concept of the election of Jesus Christ. Can this sign actually be the one time that God actually marks the day of a massive major event for once? Okay, because here I am saying that it's going to be a big nothing burger day. We're going to wait for another 7 months to see what the sign meant. And God's like, I'm going to get you. Get you for saying that. It's going to be like the New Madrid fault. Opens up, you know, kiss me goodbye. I won't survive that thing.
I need a sound effect for that.
Bob, is that a franchise that you're going to start? Because you mentioned that nothing burger quite often.
Yeah.
Nothing burger.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
Basically consists of two buns.
With nothing.
That's it. Yeah, nothing burger. I'm handing out hamburger buns. It's nothing burger.
Yeah. They toasted and they get anything else on it, butter or anything like that.
Yeah, you say people are going to tune in and go, it's going to be a big nothing burger. They're going to go, doggone it, Barbara, what's a nothing burger?
Can I get it with cheese?
I have a question here.
Cheese, at least cheese.
Yeah, that would be a grilled cheese.
Yeah, grilled cheese.
Quick question.
So, Shane, what's, you know, I'm kind of interested in all the stuff that you've been doing
I don't have an opportunity to talk to you very often.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a little bit more of what you got going.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, at times it feels like I'm all over the map because I'm in the habit of reading the entire Bible. Like, in the last 2 years, I read the Bible 12 times. So I'm just plowing through the Bible. And I never really understood why I was spending like 5-6 hours a day reading it. And I'm like, anytime I mention it to someone that, yeah, I finished the Bible in like 30 days or 60 days, they're like, slow down. And I get it. But then now your memory starts to, like, whenever we start throwing out verses and stuff, like, it's almost like the Holy Spirit can now use the scriptures that you've been digesting for the last couple of years. And I think of like Luke chapter 21, we're all familiar with that, you know, Luke's, Jesus's, Olivet discourse, if you will. I believe it's Luke 21. But what's interesting when, who is it? Was that you, Bob, that mentioned, May 18th? Yep. There's a bunch of Bobs here. But May 18th, it's kind of interesting because if you kind of pay attention a little bit, and I don't pay attention to the readings on the Sabbath of what the Jews do, just as a traditional thing. On May 18th, they're actually reading from Leviticus 21, and Leviticus 21 is one of my favorite books. I absolutely love Leviticus. It used to put me to sleep at night, but now I love it. Leviticus 21 basically talks about God is telling the priests that they can't take wives, strangers. Like, they have to take a virgin wife, basically. Like it has to be a virgin. And it's interesting on May 18th that that's the scripture that they're going to be reading the whole thing. Like, the first 15 verses or whatever, that's part of their reading that they do. Mm. And it's I kind of pay attention to that kind of stuff where, what are they reading on certain days of the week? And then you go back in time and you're trying to look around what's happening then. And that's, I think it's like 40 days after April 8th. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that God had orchestrated that back in Leviticus. And this is their thing that they just do. They just read it and they have a veil over their eyes. They don't know what they're reading. Mm. It's not clear yet, but yet, on that day, they're reading about that chapter, which is quite fascinating to me.
Brother Shane, do you believe that the Jews today, and the Orthodox Jews, they read Daniel, right?
I don't know if they do. Like, it depends. Like I've come across people that call themselves Jews, and I actually had a friend talk to a person saying, you know, what do you guys think about Isaiah 53?
Oh gosh.
And they're like, oh well, I don't read the New Testament.
Ah, oh my
god. What are you talking about? That's in the Old Testament. But that told me that there's a chance we may read our Bible, the entire Bible, more than they do, just because they call themselves a Jew. They pay more attention. I'm not saying everybody. But they pay more attention to what their rabbi says or what their rabbi teaches. And it's very similar to what Christians do. Like, we pay attention to what our pastor teaches us. Somebody tells us this. But we don't dive into the King James Bible and soak it all up for ourselves. Like, I don't have commentary. You should see John's Bible. Like, it puts mine to shame. Like, I got highlighters here and there. But John's, you see my friend John Foitier, his Bible is just highlighted. Every sentence is highlighted. The watchdog. Like, I thought I had a lot of highlighters. I wore out like 3 highlighters in the last 2 years. But you look at John's, it's just blanketed. Show us, John. Like, it's amazing. I've never seen that before. Look at this guy. Every verse, like, my goodness.
Oh, neat, too. Still very neat.
That guy is in the Word.
Mm.
Look at that.
Awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful Bible, too. I like that Bible.
So I think it's very important for us at this time to read the Bible. And there's been many times where I've been reading the Bible late at night and my eyes are starting to get the little funny red blood thing. And I'm wondering, to the bedroom going, I can't read the Bible anymore. Next morning, I wake up. I'm so excited. I can't wait to read it some more.
Nice.
You know, it's like being a good Berean. One of the things our brother Michael Pels, bless his heart, think about you, Michael, a lot. You know, he always talks about how the, you know, the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily.
Yeah.
As to see whether the things were so that we're talking about.
Yep. That's what we should be
He
like.
Wants us to, you know, study was always a bad word for me when I was growing up, but we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto the local pastor. Now, it doesn't say that. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God.
Yes.
Yep. Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Workmen work the word. And, mm-hmm. you know, to read, you know, to get into the Old Testament and to go through there, which I do, I'm doing more now. And I'll tell you, there's some stuff in there. You know, I got some favorite sections on trusting God and on miraculous battle victories for Israel and things like that. But you don't really get a real idea, a feel for what went on unless you get spend time, like you said, reading it. A lot of people just want to concentrate on the epistles and they don't spend any time looking through the Gospels. And that's where you really get to know Jesus Christ is through the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And then you see the book of Acts comes up and you see what happened after Pentecost and how they just took off and went out there and they turned the world upside down, it says in the Word. And so it, you know, the admonition from Shane is to really study the Bible, which is a good thing. If you don't get anything else out of tonight, because that's one of the things we're, that the Lord really wants us to do. And he'll teach you to. Don't think you're just going to be reading it along and, oh, I'm going to have to dig out all the commentaries. I'm not a big commentary person. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
No.
And I like notes and I'll use a concordance. But when you're studying something and you get to a place where you're stumped, why not ask the master to show you?
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with that. Like in my Bible, there's no, this is what changed my life is to actually have a Bible with no commentary because that allows you to get through the Bible. Now you can get through the Bible faster. Yeah. If you read 2 hours a day, single day, you'll get through the Bible in a month.
Most I have two Bibles.
Don't do that. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say I have two Bibles. The one you saw, that's my study Bible. I don't use that Bible for just reading because I get with all my notes, I got distracted, and then I'm going to go. It's a Thompson chain. So then I'm going to go from one number to another one, and before you know it, I spend a week on searching the scripture, and I've read only one verse. I have another Bible, which is only text, and that's the one I use just for reading.
Yeah.
When I want to feel how do you say that? I just use the KJV 1611 because I read that with the U as a V and the V as a U and all those words change. And it brings back my old English when I was starting to learn and I learned the King James 1611 at the same time I was learning English to speak English. So this is very, very nice.
These are my backups in case somebody, if I'm not here during the rapture, brand new Bibles for you unused. There might be a couple of verses highlighted for you just to help you out, but it's my gift. You're welcome to when I'm not here.
Yep.
Go ahead. These are for you.
You're a nice fellow. You really are.
Such a nice guy.
But what they're going to do, they're just going to walk in your house and steal them and destroy them. If it's the rapture, if you just go by dying, then yes, people can look at it and say, I got all kinds of words on the fridge, on the board, all kinds of stuff. If ever I'm missing in action for whatever reason, there you go. They will be able to know what I was at.
No believer actually has any problem with someone just taking our Bible, do we?
Yeah, exactly.
Here you're going to read it.
steal it, please.
Yeah, it's yours. Please, take it. Yeah, please.
Here, just make sure you hide your Bibles. Make sure you hide your Bibles in the cupboard. You know,
yeah, exactly where the food is. That's a good idea. Yeah,
put the Bibles in the way. That way, you have to go through the Bibles to get to your food.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, also, Brother John Fortier, you had introduced us to Sword Searcher, which is an amazing program. So we highly recommend that. Sword Searcher, I think it beats out eSword, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah,
And Blue Letter Bible, but Sword Searcher, just look for that. Google it if you want.
Yep.
Okay. Whatever your search engine of choice, right? I'm not promoting Google here, so
no. But I can I can bring you the address of it. Okay, if you want to know that, I can put it in the chat. All right, that's what's gonna bring you, and you can have a trial for free for 30 days. You don't have all the dictionaries and everything, but there is I got about 53 different Bible, English and all that stuff. Of course, I'm not using the other versions. Everybody knows me, but I'm gonna go with the Strong Link and the old KJV and stuff like that. But you do have over 300 books that come with it, okay, in the same price, all right? It's $69.99, I think. But anyway, if ever you want to hear anything about this, you can always text me or send me an email on the watchdog there, and I will guide you. And, yes, I will take you by the hand and show you the in and outs of the thing there. It's incredible what you can do with this. It's incredible. You got all the dictionaries and everything, commentaries. That's just the 2 Timothy 2:15 as it at its best.
Just make sure you don't use a highlighter on your screen, folks, using it, okay?
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Should I show my setup?
That's awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Give me a second there. I'm going to put everything on the screen.
It's like he's in a bunker.
Yeah.
I think he is. I think he is in a bunker.
Look at this. He's got surveillance on all of us right now.
No, it's all about you are on the top right screen, but it's all KJV and stuff. These are all the books. And I got some reading plans there on the top screen.
That's something a spy would say. They would say that to throw us off. Like, no, this is nothing. Nothing here, guys. This is just satellite stuff. Nothing here.
And I just put videos on the farm just to relax me.
Something's going on there. That's highly suspicious.
John will see. If anything happens, John will see it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. A lot out there you can watch for now, John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I love the word so much. Like, it's incredible, all the tools. And yes, indeed, people say, oh, you know, Bible, it has to be paper copy. I do have all them, and that's why my Sword Searcher copy, everything I wrote there, all the notes are in my paper copy in case something happened. But I like to read, I like to look and search and being guided by commentaries and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Got to be careful what you read, but everything that comes into the Sword Searcher is KJV only.
Nice, nice. I should show you my screen. My top secret stuff here.
Here we go.
Have a look. Look at this. Here's mine right here. Okay, there's not much to look at. Sometimes I look at this. This little flight tracker thing, looking for patterns and stuff. I know it's kind of weird.
There you go.
It's kind of weird.
I like flight tracker. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of mesmerizing for some reason. But yeah, I don't have any. That's it.
All right. Anybody else? Bob, what do you got?
Hey, what you got behind the scenes?
I can think we'll get back into talking about what's going on in the end times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's waiting. He's anxious. Yeah. Let's go. Let's get back into it. After this commercial break. No, I'm just
Everybody's like, what are we watching here?
Tracking our flights, man. Tracking our flights.
Come on, guys. We got to focus. All right.
Focus.
People want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like the salvation, for example. You know,
yes, they need to be saved.
That whole concept is under attack right now. You know, the people that are still out there. They're not that many now out there preaching the works and stuff like that. And I know the whole thing about repentance is becoming very confusing to people, but there's a lot of people out there now straightening that all out. Okay. People think that repentance is, Lord, I'm sorry for these sins today. Please forgive me for these sins so I'm saved today. And then you sin through the day tomorrow. And then you say, I'm sorry for the sins. Please forgive me for these sins. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And that's repentance. That's not repentance. That's nothing to do with repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. You go from not believing in Jesus to believing in Jesus. Right. And when that happens, the power of the Holy Spirit imputes his righteousness into your spirit, brings it back to life, and gives you life. It gives you a counselor inside your spirit with your spirit born again. You have the righteous spirit of God inside of you now, counseling you on how to handle your flesh. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have two natures. You have a spirit nature and you have a flesh nature. One's under one law, one's under another law. Okay. The law that we're under here in the spirit, we are righteous as Christ. Yes. Okay. Amen. The body is under a law of death. The wages of sin is death. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and the Bible says we're going to war with our flesh. Now, you have a choice after you get saved. You can continue to sin, but the problem is now you go from consciousness. Go from unconsciousness of your sin to consciousness of it now. So now all the stuff you're doing is like, hey, you know what? That doesn't feel so good. I was like, Holy Spirit's like, yeah, because it's grieving me right now. Ephesians 4:30. You're grieved. So you have a choice. You can sin your butt off and not serve the Lord, where you can barely see the Holy Spirit work in your life, and you can sin so much that the Lord could even bring you to a point where, you know, you just have to let the sin overtake you and die, because that's what happens. Okay. You can let the sin rule your flesh, where the Holy Spirit is hardly seen in your life, but you're still saved. Right. Second Timothy 2:13, read it. Okay. 2:11-13. No matter how bad you get, you're still saved and sealed. That's your choice. You could do that, or you could favor the spiritual side, not just totally walk away from the physical side, but you could favor the spiritual side and feed it more than the physical side, where it grows stronger and stronger, where you see the works of the flesh, not so much in your life, but you see the spiritual works done in your life. Because to say that you are sin-free, we had somebody say that, big preacher, I'm not going to say her name, but she said she never sinned, she lied, okay? To say that you're sin-free, right, you're lying, okay?
Don't lie.
Right. That's awesome.
It's impossible. You can't, that you have a sin nature. Okay. You can't get away from that. In order for your body to be sinless, like your spirit, it has to be in an immortal state and glorified like your spirit. And that hasn't happened yet, because that's the second part of the gift of salvation that happens at the rapture resurrection.
Well, we got to watch out too, Bob, that, you know, I appreciate what you were just, you know, what you've been saying. Didn't mean to interrupt you there, but.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
We got to watch out, because we can still get tricked very easily.
Oh, sure.
And you know, as believers, we're not immune from being influenced by thoughts and different things. And that's why 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 are so important. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, to the bringing down of strong, pulling down of strongholds.
Yep.
But we have to be involved in the pulling down. I mean, you know, we're not, you know, we have to put on the mind of Christ. The word says that we have that mind, but that doesn't mean we have it automatically.
No.
We have to put on the word of God. As our weapon. It talks about that in Ephesians 6. When we cast down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not every other thought or every 15th thought, but
every thought.
You know, and it's a real, a lot of times it's a real battle, and sometimes you get beat. But the thing about it is that we always have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So, you know, we can say, yeah, really, go, Jesus. You know, we have, when we fall short, we we will be brought back in fellowship as we confess our sin. And we don't get saved by doing that, but we get back in fellowship, mm-hmm. which is an important thing. And we don't want to stay out of fellowship too long, but we are going to fall at times. Yep. And that's another reason why we need the fellowship of the brethren. We need mm-hmm. each other.
Yep.
Because all you guys have strengths that I need. Mm-hmm. And the people in the chat room have strengths that I need. And praying is another thing that we can't take for granted and just kind of let, you know, flit by and think, well, the word says to pray. Well, you know, I'll pray for a minute today. No, you need to be constantly thinking about your brothers and sisters, and especially mm-hmm. in some parts of the world where what we're doing, we could all get shot for.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't even need a wall behind them to do it. But at the same time, we're thankful for what God has given us. And
right.
That's the reason, you know, we're getting back to the reason why we do things. The reason why any of us do this at all is because of that. Because God loves you, and we do too. We want to see you get saved, come to a knowledge of the truth, and then you can get a shofar like Boucher has and blow it.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
Right, John?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we have two different natures, okay? And that's the body is just absolutely worthless. Mm-hmm. Just accept it, learn to live with it, okay, and try not to feed it so much.
Exactly.
Because, all right, you cannot deny that you have a sinful nature. God knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why anybody that tells you is, oh, if you sin too much, you know. They're not that's a person that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, mm-hmm. Brother John? They don't rightly divide. And I've noticed something too, is when I started talking about 2 weeks ago about rightly dividing the word of truth, but then you have to rightly divide your salvation, body, soul, and spirit. If you do that, then you not only rightly dividing will you understand the word of God. That same concept you apply to your salvation, body, soul, and spirit. When you rightly divide that, then now you understand your salvation. And now I hear, I don't know if Dr. Gene Kim, you know who that guy is, but mm-hmm. he started saying that. And I don't know if he said it. I just heard him say it recently. I don't know if he said it before me or after me, but I wonder if the Holy Spirit now is beginning to show people that, hey, rightly divide your salvation. That'll clear this whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Right? Yes. He just started that, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
He's just started.
Yeah. He's probably walking up time secretly.
Yeah. And Breaker is explaining it very well in his latest video there. But it's like a football. You do have the pork skin or the pig skin. You do have the bladder inside, and you do have the air. That's the same thing as us. We got skin, we got the spirit, and we got the Holy Ghost. Now, the mm-hmm. air is not there. When we're born, we're just born with skin and the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get saved, we got the air in it. And that's when we become three people, three kind of person in one, just like the Lord. And yeah. That's how we can get saved. You cannot play football if you just have the bladder and the air. And you cannot play football if you just have the pigskin and the air, because the air will go through the pigskin, right?
Right.
So that's a very analogy. Good thing there.
It's interesting.
Another interesting thing the Lord showed me too was about salvation. Where does faith originate? It originates from your spirit. It doesn't originate from this brain. Mm-hmm. This brain's rational, sinful. It doesn't originate here. It's in a sinful state. It originates from your spirit that animates this body.
Sure.
So when it originates from your spirit, faith, and belief, guess what? The work is done with the spirit, brings it back to life and seals it.
Right.
You can't see it here, right? And the Lord showed me when your spirit, when you get saved, what happens is your spirit, when it's born again, it's then what happens is originally when you are born in the, when you're born in the womb physically, your spirit is specifically coded to your body. Okay, John, you're talking about the cell phone. how all of us have a fingerprint. All of us have a cell phone. No matter where I'm on Earth, you dial my phone number, it will come to me only. It's not going to dial six or eight people. It's specific signature only to my phone, just like your fingerprint and everything else, okay? So with that being said, your spirit, your body that houses your spirit, your body is coded only to your spirit. It's coded only to your spirit, which means any spirit that comes into your body and tries to animate it, it's a mess. It doesn't work because that spirit is not coded to work this body. That's all good, right? So which means when you get saved, your spirit is brought back to life. The Bible says it's a new man. The old has passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Okay, so now it's a brand new spirit, which means brand new code.
I like it. Applied to your body,
which is a resurrection DNA. So that's what talks about the earnest of our inheritance. Okay,
token.
The down payment on the house.
Yeah, it'd be a token.
Sealed.
Okay, the purchase possession. He comes back to get the purchase possession. The down payment is the Holy Spirit.
Sealed.
And then he comes back to get the purchase possession later at the rapture, resurrection, and physical body. Okay, that is your body, which has been marked with the spiritual DNA of the Holy Spirit when you were born. So this is why you can't get saved after you die. Because you come to knowledge of the Lord, your spirit is separated from your body. God's like, I can't give you my spirit and I can't resurrect you because you're not inside your body. Because you need a body to be with me forever, an immortal body. Mm-hmm. And since you guys are separated, I can't put your code into your physical body. Yeah. You guys have to be together.
Yeah.
You have to believe when you're all together.
I have a little tiny theory on that.
Go ahead.
If we got like 30 seconds, basically, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, he explains the mystery of the resurrection. And I think if a person can grasp this, I think everything else just kind of opens up. When we talk about, like even John mentioned, you know, the pigskin. And I think in the Old Testament, you have people that would come against God basically saying, you're up there, you're perfect, but down here we have problems and stuff. You don't really have any skin in the game. Then you have Jesus Christ that emptied himself into a human form, into skin, if you will, to basically die on the cross for us as a human being. And now once he ascends to the Most High, he can now dish out gifts, eternal life. So in John, when Jesus is talking about, in my Father's house are many mansions, this is just me, my humble opinion, this is my theory, that he is preparing a place, and that place to me is our heavenly bodies.
Right.
Because a lot of people are thinking construction, like he's a carpenter, he's building houses. Mm-hmm. But Paul dives deep into this in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the last Adam is the quickening spirit. The first Adam is earthy. The last Adam is heavenly.
Right.
So he's created a heavenly body for us, and our desire is to be, not to just be unclothed and be a spirit and floating around, but our desire is to be clothed upon. So when we make the jump from getting rid of this body, the physical flesh that corrupts, we actually go into the heavenly body that he's created that is eternal, forever.
Right.
That's my 30-second version.
Awesome.
And expands beyond what man knows. See, it's not even a question of if we have a mansion, a literal mansion or not. It's having the glorified body that gives you the opportunity to have it all. I mean, you literally are with God's creation. You are part of the, just wow. You know,
it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
Real quick, I think Bob Hagen has to leave, so I want to respect that time as well. So,
yeah, it's been a blessing being with you guys tonight, and Shane and John and John and Bob and Greg. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Likewise.
See you soon.
Thank you. Yeah. Take care.
God bless.
Perfect. Perfect time. He just jogged me to think we got a half hour left. We want to get into questions now.
I think we have enough
posted are here. So go ahead. If you want to bring the first one up, your choice.
Bob. There's a bunch of questions. Yes.
So here we go. What does Ramadan have to do with the war in Gaza? Well, Ramadan is a satanic holiday where the Muslims celebrate, where they fast. They don't really fast. They just stuff their faces for 12 hours and they don't eat for 12 hours. So it's such a silly holiday. Yeah. But this is where they go and wreck everything, destroy everything. And it's a high watch time for the Jews now because the Muslims want to try to come and kill them. So it's a very satanic holiday, all right, for the Muslims, Allah. So anybody want to chime in about this one?
And it also starts on the 10th, which is a new moon. And the 11th is, you know, March 11th, the infamous 311, you know. Yeah. And there's something that goes along with that. We're kind of watching that in the sidebar, like, what could happen on 311, you know?
Yeah, and just a quick background on it. It's a commemoration of Muhammad's first revelation. So it's an observance of that and of one of the five pillars of Islam. So,
But their fast is not a fast. The fast, Jesus is very clear about it. When ye fast, it's not if you will, if you want to, is when ye fast. You got to make sure that nobody knows and you clean your face, you clean your head, you smell good and everything. Now, what they do is from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And look at me, right? And when the sun goes down, they stuff themselves, right? Yep. So this is Luke 21:34. It's surfeiting. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Surfeiting. Luke 21:34.
Yes. Okay. Enjoy. Now, we'll get to the next question. But of course, we say, oh, this is an evil religion. I see other people in the comments saying, yeah, they consider us to be evil, right? Yeah. So it's back and forth. It's a matter of finding the absolute truth, folks. And sometimes you do have to do some research in other religions. Why is Christ the way, the truth, and the life? Why is Jesus who we worship and understand as the absolute truth?
Accept him and you'll know, right, Brother Greg? Accept Jesus as your Savior and you'll know that you know. And you'll never turn back once you know.
As Brother Bob says, Hagen, give Jesus a chance.
There you go.
Jesus Christ is the only one with an empty tomb.
Amen.
That's good. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Next question here from Caesar says, how likely are we to go into 2025 or 2026? John, Watchman, Brother John, what do you think?
That's a good question, but I don't think it's very likely just because we barely made it to 2023. I'll say we can make it to 2025, 2026, 2027, whatever God has in store. But the way things are in the world right now, it was hard for me to see how we were going to get out of 23. And we went through and we're here in 24. So we're in the last moments. That's where I look at 2025, 2026. That's more towards, there's so many things going on. You're going to have a real ID. 2025 is going to bring so much I just heard this morning, they're going to have flying cars by the end of this year. There's a million people signed up. Yeah. Already there's for flying cars,
like $250,000 a piece.
How much?
$250,000 a piece. My son was doing a school project on them, and how much money you got to make, to buy one and stuff like that. He chose a construction job, $46,000 a year. I'm like, yeah, good luck to that one, man.
Pretty much, right? Or as much as a house.
So. But just for my thought, for my thinking there, 2025 and 2026, yes, they will be there. They will be there for the calendar said so, and it's still going to go there. But I might won't be here.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to see that. I'm going to be gone.
Amen.
Yeah. Those three blood moons, the first one starts this year on Purim. And those are going to be warnings to the Jews, and they're supposed to start sacrificing this year. We hearing a lot about those red heifers. I've heard they're down to three now, Brother John. I don't know. I think they're going to go all the way down to one. I think that's what's going to happen.
They only need one. They only need one red heifer.
Yeah, that's all. Those are dropping off.
Yeah.
That would be the ninth one since the beginning.
The ninth mm-hmm. one?
Yeah, that's what I learned.
Yeah, ninth. I thought it was 10, but yeah, nine. Could be nine.
Yeah.
And see, Julie says, do you think that the U.S. will have an election? Pastor Hibbs and others are doubtful. I don't know who Pastor Hibbs is, but I don't think there's going to be an election.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think because like they're going through the rungs right now. If Trump could send, he wrecks everything from the gravy train stops. Biden, it's amazing. Biden right now, he's keeping the borders open. He's holding the country hostage because he can't send all his buddies in Ukraine all that money. Okay, yeah. So they can pat in their pockets. So he's like, I'm going to hold the American people hostage and keep this border wide open to you guys giving my money. And he says that once they give me my money, I'll close the border. I'm like, really? So your citizens have to suffer because we have to give money to some country that's not even in, we're not even a treaty with, that's not in NATO or anything. Oh. You know, I am so tired of this crap.
Yeah, I know. Me too, brother.
I would say something like, I don't know about 2024 if there will be elections, but there won't be one for 2028. That's for sure.
It's gonna, you created the crisis.
It's going to be so rough there. So I don't think that they're going to make it this far before the worldwide government and the whole thing going on. And that's going to be,
When is the elections? It's November this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be surprised if there isn't martial law in the States. Mm. I'll be surprised.
That's what they want, right? Right, Shane?
Yeah. And we have to say it because Shane is there, is Canadian too. So, of course, when you guys say America, we think North America. So we're part of it. Because when you guys in the United States sneeze, in Canada, we catch the cold. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's how close we are to the follow-up.
It's part of our continent, right? The whole thing.
Even with President Zelensky right now in Ukraine, they're under martial law from like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 p.m. or the opposite of that. They can't go out after that. And the election the last week of March, this month, if he has to renew every 90 days martial law, and if martial law is still in effect in Ukraine, there's not going to be an election for them. He'll just keep going in power and they'll skip over that. And when he first came into power, he actually dissolved a couple of the political parties that were actually leaning a little bit more towards Russia. First thing he did was call the snap election. The first day he went into office, you got 30 days. You got 30 days, and they couldn't muster enough people together to get it going. And then he won an overwhelming landslide by being on YouTube and all this kind of stuff. And he won it. And now it's almost like, I don't want to say he's a dictator, but you know what happens when you say, I don't want to say, or, I don't want to accuse anybody while you're kind of accusing. But I just feel like they're not going to have an election. And if some crisis, whether it's made up or whatever, if the president says, hey, we are under duress, whatever it is, we got to declare martial law for your protection. It'll be somewhere in October and nobody will be able to vote. And it'll be that easy. In Canada, it's real easy. Like our prime minister proved that he could just call an emergency. What was it called there, John? Emergencies Act.
Yes.
Which was illegal, but he called it. He called it, and it's illegal, and he's going to pay for that down the road, like legally, like through the legal areas. But it's just kind of interesting that all this stuff is happening pretty quick. And like I said, I'm throwing out a prediction. That's what I do. I throw out little black swan predictions. I'm like, my prediction is martial law by the fall.
Before we get to this next question, Bob, just want to clarify who Pastor Jack Hibbs is, because he's severely under attack right now. Mm-hmm. And he was under attack because he did pray. He was welcomed at Capitol Hill to open up in prayer. And they give you a specific outline of what you can and cannot say. And he was totally against that. And he did bring up the name of Jesus Christ, of course. And, called for a time of humility and repentance of national sins in this time of great need. And so our pastor Chuck Hibbs from Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California, is under severe attack. And this could be a segue to, you know, this whole attack on us as believers in general, as corporately, because they considered him as, I mean, they are considering him as a terrorist for bringing up Jesus Christ in prayer. So we have to keep him, their congregation up in prayer, the entire body of Christ in prayer at this time. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, wow.
For sure.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. They're afraid in the name of Jesus. Well, they should, because Jesus is going to come back, round them all up, and throw them into hell.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why they're all afraid of him. Yeah. Okay. They should be afraid of them.
Mm.
Okay. Better start. You better start believing his finished works to save you, or else you're all going to get wound up to bundles, as the Bible says, and thrown into hell, and then the lake of fire. Sorry. Okay. I hope the globalists are watching our channel. Yeah. I can't stand these guys. I pray for them sometimes. I when the spirit hits me right, I can pray for them. It's difficult, man. we know who their God is. You know, they're serving the devil. They serve Allah. They serve. You know, you hear John Kerry say that to these people is in Allah's name. He says all that stuff. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But questionnaires for, I don't know if it's John or John, which one of you guys?
I can go with it.
Either one. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there's a lot of bad habits that are sinful, like drinking, stuff like this. Everybody know. Playing Powerball, I'd say it's tempting the devil. And let's say you win it and that's the rapture the next day. Well, you're going to have to explain it. You're going to have to explain it, why you didn't play Powerball.
I can just say it like this. The best thing to do with money is not have a lot of it. If you do, it's just trouble. Because, you know, Bible says it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than you know, goes the camel to go through the eye of a needle. Mm-hmm. It's hard no matter which way you look at it. You can put the camel through the eye of the needle, which was in the city in the ancient times. It was small door that they would close the big gates at night, and you have to push this camel, you know, through this little door.
Unpack him.
Right? Unpack him.
The camel goes on his knees.
And they're not giving animals. They like to spit, and it's terrible, those camels.
Well, they're very proud animals, and that's the whole point of it. A rich man won't humble himself.
Yeah, right.
I don't need God. Look at all the riches. My barns are full. Yeah. You know, if he won't humble himself. I've worked with camels at our church. They're stubborn, and they're proud. Yeah. They hold their heads up high. Yeah. They'll hit their heads on lights and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like they're very proud animals, and they go through the eye, they have to duck and get down their knees. It's like, this is humiliating to that camel, you know. So, you know, that's a very, I love that point. And nobody knows what it says or the question, John, what happens if you win the Powerball and the next day the rapture takes place?
Well, for me, I just don't play any lottery because I'm afraid to win, and then I would be screwed.
You can give it all away, brother. You know, give it to all the churches and give it to all the brothers. And
John, you're already a winner.
Yes. Right. I'm rich.
We all are.
I'm free. I'm sealed.
Amen. We have more wealth and value to God, and we have more in the kingdom of God than we have will ever have here. Whether you had all the money in the world, not even close to what we're going to.
But you lose your soul. Have it all, the whole world, but yet you lose your soul. It's all temporary here, everybody. Question here for Barbara. She says, what's your take on but living in continual sin, such as divorce, remarried? Videos such as this have recently bombarded my YouTube channel. Yeah, well, we all continue living in sin. Just one sin.
Yeah, why is divorced called continual sin when you're divorced? I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, she means divorce and remarried.
Yeah, but again, why is, like, you're divorced and then you're remarried? So I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, I think in the law, it says that if you get remarried,
Oh, back to the same person?
Yeah, they're going back to the law. And, of course, the Bible says that we are not saved by the law. We're not justified by the law, Galatians 2:16. Okay, we're not justified by any works of the law.
No.
But through the faith of Jesus Christ. So we all live in sin, or some type of sin. I told you, your physical body, to deny that you don't have sin in your life is to deny the fact that your body is alive and breathing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only time that you don't live in sin is either one, you're dead, physically dead and separated from your body, or two, you've been raptured, resurrected.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure, the way the question is worded, like, if you're divorced in the legal court, you're divorced from that person, done, that's over. Mm-hmm. And if you get married to someone else, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I'm not sure what the question is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, if you get divorced and remarried, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay, no, and Paul is clear about it also. Paul says, "If I wish everybody would be like me, but there is no sin. You're better to remarry in order not to sin, you know,
yeah, or get married. And everything. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Get married. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is for divorce and remarrying. That's what I think the Bible is teaching. Okay. Mm-hmm. But once again, I think it's John who said it, or Shane. Once you are forgiven for one sin, it's the same sin. It's not continue. You're not willingly sinning. You're stuck with it, right?
Yeah. You're stuck right now.
Yeah, I know.
And remember, your righteousness that gets you into heaven has to be imputed into you. It has to be given to you. There's no amount of work that you can do here on earth to make yourself so righteous before God to stand before his throne. That is heavenly righteousness. We already seen what the saints did in the Old Testament. The best they can do with their own works is end up in the belly of the earth. Okay? In order to stand before God's throne, that type of righteousness has been imputed to you according to Romans 4:22-25. Mm-hmm. It has to be imputed, given to you. Okay. You receive it when you have faith.
And that's what Christ did. He did it. And then 3 days later, when he rose and the resurrection happened, they went into the city and showed themselves. So these were, they had sin, but they needed forgiveness. And there it was.
Mm-hmm. So
that went on.
Right. And I said something about that last week. You know, the heavens have billions and billions of people up there. And it wasn't because that they were all sinless people. No, because everybody fell short of the glory of God, all different levels, of course. But the one narrative, the one thing that everybody in heaven right now, this very moment who's in heaven, the common thing of every single person there is they're all sinful when they walk the earth, all of them. Yep. But the other thing that they had in common, too, that they all believe in Jesus' finished works and save them.
Amen. There it is.
And they're all up there right now.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to see them soon, too, man. Can you imagine the billions of people? Vast throng of people before the Lord, you know? It's just... Yes.
Robert Breaker has a good book on marriage and remarrying stuff. Go on his website and check it out. I think you can download it for free and buy. If you want to buy the copy, you can also. I do have a copy here, a paper copy, and it's not very expensive. But that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Aaron says here, what do you guys think about the latest EU decision about the digital wallet? The digital wallet that's coming is basically a prelude to the mark of the beast.
Yes.
Okay. You want to spend money? You need the mark. And the digital wallet, after you get the mark, you get the digital wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No mark, no digital wallet. No digital wallet, no mark, no internet, no buying and selling. Revelation chapter 13. I think Obama has a lot to do with this right here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. I hear him talk about this. He's really excited about this one, guys.
Yes.
What do you think? Brother Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like a precursor to just getting us ready for whether that's the mark itself, or it's like you can't, like, eventually it's going to come to a head where you can't buy or sell anything unless you worship the image of the beast. Then you're going to have a tough conversation once you take the mark, because it's over then. Like, there's no going back once you take the mark. And we're not sure what it is. We can theorize, but that sure looks pretty close to it when they start making you do stuff. That's the part where it gets a little bit dicey, when they start introducing digital this, digital that. And I'm just waiting for them to introduce something where you got to digest it, or make it somehow it changes part of your DNA or something like that, where all of a sudden to me, in my head, logically, there has to be something that you willingly take on and there's no going back afterwards. It can't be a surprise where, surprise, you took the mark of the beast and didn't even know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It has to be a clear decision. You have to make that decision. But thank God that those people that would come to the Lord Jesus now don't have to ever make that decision. Yeah. So, you know, we're still in the age of grace, and time is short. And there it is, you know, in a nutshell.
Don't put your hope into finances, folks, or worldly possessions. Yeah. Won't get anywhere.
Just quickly, if you want to bring Revelation 16:2. In case you are fearing the mark and all that stuff, that's why you should not take it. Uh-huh. And that's right there in Revelation 16:2. Okay. That's going to bring a grievous sore upon the man. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what it is. That for those who had the mark of the beast.
Yeah. There's no going back.
No, that's really bad. That's bad mojo. Of course, those who are saved will be gone. Somebody was talking about that, obviously, if you're not saved. So that's why you have to be saved. That's why you need 1 Corinthians 15:1-4.
Right. That's why you have to be saved now. So that way, when God calls the Holy Spirit home, the current guard of the Holy Spirit here on the earth, because the Holy Spirit never leaves. But he has commissioned people to become a part of Christ, and he commissions them by giving us his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that part of the Holy Spirit that has commissioned us to come home to the Lord, the body of Christ, all right, we're taken out of here. And then a whole new gospel is introduced to the whole world, Revelation chapter 14, angel, the everlasting gospel. Mm-hmm. And this is a time of testing. Brother Johnny brought this up here. If you take this mark, that means you failed the test.
Yep.
Okay. Revelation chapter 3:10 says this is the time of testing. Mm-hmm. All right. That we're kept from those who dwell on the earth, which means you're not on the earth. God doesn't take you, hide you in a rock in a cave. It's for those who dwell on the earth. So we're not on the earth at this point.
Revelation 3:10. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So don't stay here for the test. You are, believe now. You know, Brother Bob Hagel was talking about that. Why wait? Why wait to believe in Jesus? It's like you have to, you know, okay, if I believe now and I'm good and I turn away from all my sin now and lead this good life, maybe I will be raptured by the time the tribulation begins. That's what people think. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I can't turn away from the sin, though. You know, but I was like, well, why don't you come to Jesus as you are? Mm-hmm. Come to him as you are. Okay, believe, and then deal with your sin. Okay, maybe when you start believing, you know, sometimes I've seen people just like one guy. Never forget, his guy's name is James. As soon as he got saved, his addiction was smoking. Yep. Right after he got saved, the guy could not smoke a single another cigarette because every time he smoked it, he got sick. It was this awful taste in his mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's. That stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Praise God.
God is good.
Amen.
And I'm sharing something because I'm just on the screen there. It's a quick verse, but it's quick. It's just let don't be ignorant. Ignorance won't be an excuse, okay? So Paul is telling to the Corinthian here, well, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And it means that, well, there's no outcome possible. That's the end of it. But willingly being ignorant, it's not gonna help you.
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So there's no ignorance of knowing Jesus. Once you know him, you know him.
You know him. And you're saved.
No turn back.
Ready to go.
Jill says here, guys, what's your purpose here? Why do we all go through heartache? Why?
Revelation 4:11.
There you go.
Revelation 4:11. That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to bring that up. And why do we all go through heartache? That's because of sin. God doesn't want us here. That's why the Bible says. Go ahead.
Revelation
14, you said 4:3?
Revelation.
Revelation 4:11.
4:11. Okay. Yes. But you know, that's why we're here together, encouraging one another.
Yeah.
Until that for the great day. Okay. Yeah. Encourage one another with these words.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother John.
That's good too.
Revelation 4:11. You gonna read that, John?
Oh, I can read it, yes.
Yeah.
People say, why am I here? What everything? I'm doing this and all that and going through all this. Well, that we were created for his pleasure. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things.
Amen.
And for thy pleasure they are and were created. They are and were. So even from the beginning, they were created, and they are right now. They're still you living right now. You've been created for his pleasure. And that's the way that you love him and you worship him and you're saved by the blood of his son, that's when you're saved, sealed in the Holy Ghost. And that's why all the heartache, it's tribulation that we have to go through. You can have a full topic on that with Paul. Paul is explaining in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, why we have to go through those tribulations. Not that tribulation, but our tribulation, everyday thing. Mm-hmm. We are like this. We belong to God, and nobody loves God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Long as we're on the earth, we will have tribulation. Not the tribulation, but tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Right. We all go through it. They'll hate you for my name's sake. If they hated me, they'll hate you.
Yes, sir.
Which is a great segue to this question from Robin. It says, why is the Christian religion the most hated in the world? Because that is the only way to heaven. Through Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Isn't it funny? You never hear someone say, damn, Buddha, or damn this one, or damn that.
Yeah.
But you hear to God or Jesus, and they use a lot more curse words with Jesus' name.
They don't use Muhammad's name. No. They don't use Allah's name.
No.
Okay. No. They use God.
The power is the one that's getting hit most,
it's like interesting. Remember I told you guys about the fallen angels that are communicating with these New Age people? And that one guy that came from that New Age stuff, he was a big wig in there. And they're all communicating with these alien celestial beings and stuff like that, and their projections and all that weird stuff, mediums and stuff. But the main thread that went through all of them was, we're cool with all the religions on earth except Christianity.
Right.
Okay, so that should go to show you that none of them acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, because there's a lot of Jesus in different religions. Jesus in Islam. There was a Jesus in Judaism. He wasn't their Messiah. Of course he was. All right. But he is our Messiah. Okay. Right. We believe in being the Son of God, God walking in the flesh here on the earth. Okay. But these aliens, these fallen angels, they say, yep, everything's cool. Islam, Buddhism, all the Hindu gods, and all the religions. Cool. We're cool with all
that. Yeah, that's all good.
But Christianity. Yeah. Stay away from that one. We don't like that one.
The first red light that should come up to your mind in why Christianity is so hated. Well, you can still go in Jerusalem and visit the tomb of Jesus. It's empty. Now you can go for Buddha, and you will still see the tomb there is not empty, and you will see all kinds of stuff, the other religions, the tomb is not empty. I'm sorry, but that should ring a bell and say, well, it might be the real one. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's right.
And like Islam, that's one of the main competitors with Christianity. Like Islam, you read the hadiths in the Quran, Muhammad died like four different ways, And I was like, okay. And then you had one point where he jumped on a winged donkey looking woman thing and rode it to heaven from the Temple Mount. So it's like, you guys are making stuff up everywhere. That nobody does anybody get a memo about some guidelines that you guys have to follow when you write your crap, you know? No. So, yep, that's where we're at. But the word of God, the Bible, is solid.
That's right. It is solid.
Solid word of God. So
I think we should cut it off here, but I want to just piggyback off of that last comment or the previous comment question with John talking about the reason why we go through what we go through here. And the one verse that came into mind was Apostle Paul in Romans 5. And I'll bring that up right now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So just keep that in mind, folks, because it is important to realize there are certain things that we do have to go through for these things to actually happen in our lives and to strengthen our faith walk with Christ. Okay?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's no other power in any other name. Here it is, amen. From Linda. There is no power in any other name than Jesus.
That's right. So
when Pastor Hibbs dropped that name, scared them, shook them, caused a spiritual earthquake in D.C. Mm-hmm. And they didn't like it. Yep. So good job.
They didn't like it one bit.
Yeah. Just make a test there if you're having some issues in your house and stuff like that. Start reading the Bible in every room. You'll see. You'll see how peace is coming in. You will fill it out. I speak by experience there. So when you bring up the name of Jesus Christ or the blood of Christ,
amen,
all the demons fall down.
And wouldn't hurt to keep your radio running too with Christian music all the time. Yeah. That's what we do here. Because Jesus and praise and worship is constantly going. Mm-hmm. It's like a chalkboard scratch on chalkboard to them. Can't stand it. Even if it's a radio doing it, they can't stand it.
Yep.
You know, if I ever hear like a bunch of rap songs come on, you know, I'm just like, okay, if you can't turn the radio off, I have to leave the room. You know, it works on us too. So
that's funny.
All right. Any last comments from any of you before we close?
I think just keep pressing into the Word of God, especially in this time, in this season, like practice memorizing verses. John mentioned a bunch of verses, go-to verses. Mm-hmm. I think rewatch this channel, tonight's episode, because we dropped a lot of verses tonight. Mm-hmm. And just go over it, write them down, highlight them in your Bible, use a highlighter. And just really press in, because there will come a time where you're going to need to be able to have an answer for someone. And it could be at a moment where you're unaware. So you could be in the mall, you could be pumping gas somewhere, whatever it is, and somebody's going to ask you for that hope.
Amen. Quickly, I would just say, after you understand and you're good and you're blessed and you're saved with the 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, for those who are not saved, once you're saved, go to 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to rightly divide. You will see you won't be able to stop. You want to get a program or something to learn. You're going to open your Bible, and the Word of God won't go in fast enough in your head. Mm-hmm. You're just going to want more. You're going to be hungry for the gospel. So,
Good. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. The shofar.
There we go.
Here we go.
Wow. I like that. Wow, it gives you goose pimples, man.
Yes.
Man, he's coming, brothers and sisters.
Hey. Amen. That was better than our little recording there.
I think it's loud enough to wake up the dead people.
They ain't problem. Awesome. They're going to wake, aren't they? They're asleep now. They're going to wake up when you hear that.
And thank you all for coming back on. Thank you for the panelists. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bye. Have a good night.